You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Wednesday to you. We appreciate you being with us. It's game day for Arkansas basketball. They'll be at Bud Walton Arena tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off against the Troy Trojans. It's going to be on SEC Network Plus. A little bit later in our show, we'll talk to Brett Dolan, who's going to be on the call, the TV call of the game, that is, tonight when Arkansas plays Troy. Anthony Christensen here in studio with me. Anthony, Troy, what do we know about them?
They're decent. At least early signs are promising for the Trojans. I mean, two wins from two games, both by double figures. And, I mean, obviously, I mean, they went on the road and beat New Orleans, which New Orleans is, I mean, that's not like a huge win. But I think the bigger thing to look at from their first two games is beating Toledo by double figures. I mean, that's a Toledo team that, you know, has won 20-plus games in six of the last 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, Todd Kowalczyk, I think, is one of the most underrated coaches in America there at Toledo. So, two very good results. Stingy defensive team. I believe they're top 100 in defense and one of, like, top 40, 50 three-point defense teams, at least according to the KenPom metrics. You know, obviously, just through two games, so, I mean, it's a little early to tell. But, and then offensively, I mean, they've got four guys who are average in double figures. I've got the names pulled up just so I don't forget. You know, Jackson Fields, Tayton Conaway, who was, you know, one of their top producers from last season coming back, even though he's more of a six-man last year. But, you know, he stepped into a starting role this season. Thomas Dowd and Miles Rigsby, all averaging double figures, you know, on the offensive end. And they're kind of versatile. I mean, and they have a lot of experience coming back. You know, kind of like Lipscomb, but they don't play like Lipscomb. They just, from an experience standpoint, they have a lot of guys coming back. So there's some things to like. They'll play both zone and man defense. So, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to, I guess.
Troy picked to finish second in the Sun Belt Conference this year behind Arkansas State, who, by the way, went to Tuscaloosa last week and gave Alabama a little bit of a scare, a nine-point game that the Crimson Tide won.
After Brian Hodgson had his bus heroics.
Right, that's right, after he played Mechanic. I was looking at Troy, and I'm looking at the name of the head coach, Scott Cross. Scott Cross. This looks familiar. Oh, he was UT Arlington's coach.
Yes, he was.
And you don't remember this because this was – you were maybe in junior high when this happened, but there was a Mike Anderson team in the season opener when UT Arlington came in here several years back, and they put a real scare into Arkansas. They were up by 17 in the second half, and Arkansas had to rally down the stretch to win that game 71-67. So this is a coach who has got – I mean, he was respected at UT Arlington. I don't know that they – I'm not sure they ever made the NCAA tournament. But it was always one of those teams that you really – when you went into a game with them, you felt like, hey, you're going to have to bring your best because you know they're going to bring their best.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, he was at UTA for quite some time. I don't remember exactly
about
how many
11,
years.
12 years.
Yeah, but they were always – I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, I wasn't as tuned in back then. But they were always, you know, at least solid. Yeah, Scott Cross is a very well-respected coach in the industry. Obviously, you know, Troy is, I believe, coming off a 20-win season last year. So having that experience back from a 20-win team, you know, it's going to help them out a lot. And you're seeing an Arkansas team that I think is still kind of finding its way, still kind of learning to play together, even though, you know, obviously three of the guys played together at Kentucky. But, you know, still trying to kind of find their way, especially on the offensive end. Defensively, they've been pretty good. I believe they're 12th in defensive efficiency in KenPom, Arkansas is. But on offense, you know, they're still kind of trying to find, you know, find that cohesion, I guess.
So Scott Cross did coach one NCAA tournament team. You know who they lost to in the first round?
Ooh, okay.
Who do you think was on the sideline, on the other bench?
Well, you got – give me the conference, and then maybe I can get it.
How about I tell you what his name rhymes with? How about Paolo Perry?
Okay.
Yeah. 2008.
All right.
That was the Memphis team that went to the national championship game and lost to KU with the Mario Chalmers shot. Little wrinkle here, too. That game was coached and played at Altel Arena in North Little Rock. So,
yeah. How about that?
So there you go. Scott Cross.
That's a fun coincidence.
Yeah, his only NCAA tournament team. Lost to Calipari's, probably his best team at Memphis.
Yeah. I couldn't have told you that off the top of my head.
Well, I couldn't have told you that until I looked it up about 90 seconds ago.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? It's an educational program.
Across his teams, I mean, I'm looking at his record right here. He's got a 307 and 237 record as a head coach. So there's some talent there with him. I was telling Jack, my 6-year-old, the other day. He asked me, he said, Dad, who's Arkansas playing this week? And I said, they played Troy on Wednesday night. And he goes, Musselman? And I go, no, buddy, that's the men of Troy. He's been playing too much college football on his PlayStation, and they, you know, they call USC the men of Troy.
Yeah.
And so he learned that there was a Troy, Alabama, and there was a college there and everything. But, you know, for a split second in his mind, he thought this was going to be an Eric Musselman return trip to Fayetteville. John Calipari had his radio show on Monday night out at Sassy's, and we'll play a couple of clips from that right now. One was about the Baylor game, and he really said, hey, if you want to blame somebody for the Baylor game, blame me. He said, I was really disappointed in the way that I coached that game. And really, I think what he was saying was he was disappointed in the way that he had his team prepared to play against a zone defense that they knew they were going to see from Scott Drew. And this is more about what he had to say from the Baylor game.
I hate to say this. I'd rather learn from close wins than losses. But two groups needed us to lose the game to get them right. They needed it, our players, and I needed it because I would have been full of myself because we just went and got baskets, still haven't made shots yet. We got to the foul line. We made those. We had 6 blocks. But we were so bad. And then at the end of the half, you know, it shouldn't have been 9. It should have been 4, 5 maybe, and all of a sudden it becomes 6 and they make a 3 at the buzzer. Come on now. Haven't had the time with this group that we need. But you know what? Now we learn and we move on. We worked on things today. Sunday they were off. We worked on stuff today that we needed. I was pretty firm. I'm not mean and nasty, but they're held to a really high standard. And they responded.
So that was Arkansas coach John Calipari on Monday night out at Sassy's, that clip courtesy of Hogs Plus. When you hear him say that, what are your thoughts?
I think, they're going to try to work on zone or play against a zone, and I think they're going to see a lot of zone tonight. I mean, when you've seen how they've struggled against a zone defense, why wouldn't teams line up in a zone defense against them, right? And, I mean, you look at a team like Troy, like I mentioned earlier, top 40-ish, you know, 3-point defense team in the country through 2 games, obviously. So, you know, maybe take it with a grain of salt and stuff like that. But, you know, it seems like, you know, obviously they're disappointed in how they, you know, haven't been able to perform against his own defense to this point, which, you know, that to me kind of also says that they're just going to keep seeing it until they can prove they can break it down. And maybe some of that kind of comes when, and I'm kind of rambling here, but, you know, when Jonas Adu's kind of got his legs under him can play.
And he said other day that he didn't think Adu should have played in the game against Baylor. He said that he was only probably about 70-75%, and he said in retrospect we probably shouldn't have played him. And so you wonder, you know, is he going to get to play against Troy tonight? You know, mm-hmm. Do they maybe give him some rest and maybe ease this ease this process up for him to get back into the rotation? He's going to at some point in time. He's going to be a big player for him as long as he can get healthy.
Yeah.
Anyway, listening to that the other night, it just kind of made me think, like, do they plan on playing him against Troy?
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at, and statistically speaking, or just kind of looking at box score against Baylor, I mean, they're big guys, you know, Zvonimir Ivicic, Trevor Brazil, Jonas Adu, they only combined for 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Baylor did a good job of, you know, keeping those guys away from the basket and keeping them from, you know, being effective on the offensive end. I believe Trevor Brazil had a couple of good rebounds, and I think he hit a 3 too. But I don't think, if I remember correctly, I don't think Zvonimir Ivicic hit a field goal and stuff like that. So, I mean, once you get, you know, that inside presence kind of established, which maybe they haven't, you know, so far, and maybe Baylor kind of showed a little bit of that, you know, maybe that kind of alleviates the pressure to hit more of these threes. But, I think that is a another place to kind of look at.
One of the other things John Calipari addressed on his radio show, and by the way, if you haven't listened to a Calipari radio show, it is all over the board. You're going to get
just
story
like a
time.
Press conference, yeah.
You're going to get story time. You're going to, I mean, I think his first segment, Chuck asked him one question, and then he just kind of finished talking. Like, okay, let's go to the break now. But anyway, one of the things that he had to say was about playing Troy. This is what he had to say about playing the Trojans.
Troy, you better be ready to play because they defensively come at you, and they come at you different ways. Now, if I watched the last game, what would I start the game in? Somebody's smart out there. Zone. You say, look, let's throw a zone, see if they're still confused. Hopefully we're not confused. We make a few shots, we pick up, we go, and we'll see. But it's going to be a hard game. And let me say, these next two games, we need to fill the house. If you have to give away your tickets because the place is sold out, give your tickets. We got to recruit in this weekend. We got to have this building so he sees what it is. Playing in Bud Walton, come on now. What's better than that? I'm honored to coach here. I want them to walk in and say, what is this? Let's be there for these kids and let's be there for the program. Give them away. Send them to us. We'll give them away. Send them to me. I'll sell them. No, I won't do.
So some humor there about feels like he noticed. How could you not?
Yeah.
He noticed last week when the building wasn't full.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think everybody noticed, right? I mean, it was something. There was a little bit of a talking point on social media and everything, which obviously that's not real world. But yeah,
well, this isn't.
It was not full.
Two things. Number one, this is not an Arkansas problem.
Yeah.
Number two, this is not a this year problem. I mean, this is something that's been going on for quite some time. It's hard to get people. I don't know if the word is interested. I don't know if the word is involved. But for November, December basketball games, especially the ones in the midweek, it's hard to get people in the building for whatever reason. And after the game last week, they sent a press release out that said they're starting the Hog Ticks transfer program, or restarting it. It's something they've done in the past few years. I think it had a Musselman theme name a year or two ago. But basically, if you can't go to the game, you email your tickets to this Hog Ticks at UART.edu, and that they basically resell the tickets or give them out to people or whatever it is they do.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess maybe some of that is not necessarily getting, I guess, a big name team coming to town in the first game. I mean, yeah, I get excited to watch Lipscomb. I get excited to watch anybody, but I'm not I'm not normal.
No.
So I mean, maybe there's some of that. I mean, you see the Kansas North Carolina game that was played on campus. I mean, that was awesome.
That was also on Friday night.
It was, yeah. I mean, that not to take away from that, but I mean, I still think if you're
I think it was also the day before a home football game.
I don't know anything about Kansas football.
I'm pretty sure it was.
But I mean, still, I mean, you get, you know, and Kansas sells out every game, so I mean, maybe it's a bad example, but I mean, you get games like that. I think everybody's going to be, you know, selling that place out no matter the day. I mean, but I mean, maybe it stinks to not play in front of a home arena, especially when you're going to have a recruit in. I believe it's going to be Caleb Wilson, but yeah.
You know, Kansas, they're playing their home football games this year at Kansas City while they get the stadium.
Oh yeah, that too.
Rebuilt there in Lawrence, but Kansas City to Lawrence is 40-minute drive. I mean, it's a different.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that you know, and I couldn't even begin to tell you what it's like at other programs. I've got my suspicions of what it might be. But your ticket buying population here, there's a significant number who live in other parts of the state. Little Rock, you know, the Little Rock area, I would assume, would probably be your second largest ticket buying metro area, and that's just not a trip you make on a Wednesday night unless the opponent's real big, or unless maybe you know you're retired, you've got the time. But I mean, you come up here for a 7 o'clock game. From Little Rock, by the time you get out of Lot 56 or 320 or 322, whatever it's called now, and you get back down to the Little Rock area, I mean, it's going to be 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and
yeah.
You know it's just different here than say like a Kansas where, I would assume that probably 80 to 90% of their tickets that are sold are on that little corridor between Lawrence and Kansas City, or between Lawrence and Topeka, which isn't too far away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm still kind of getting used to the nuances of Arkansas and the whole, and this is like, I don't know, it's something I've noticed. Like, there's no, like, good ways to get to different places, it seems.
Like where?
Like, I don't know. I feel like Little Rock should be closer. I don't know.
I mean, you didn't live here in the old days when you had to go down to 71. Like,
yeah, I didn't. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just
Little Rock's an easy drive now. Maybe it used to be a treacherous, especially if it was raining or foggy.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, I'm used to, I mean, I lived in Columbia, Missouri, and then Evansville, Indiana. Those are pretty straight shots to and from St. Louis. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm still getting used to.
And they're closer.
And they are closer.
They're closer,
yeah.
And that goes back to what I was saying. It's a little bit farther from the other metro areas here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
Well, here, let's let's change topics here real quick. You're also our soccer reporter. Razorback Soccer plays Oklahoma State on Friday night in the first round of the NCAA tournament. You know, I spent a little bit of time looking up some numbers yesterday because it jumped out to me that Oklahoma State they look like a lot better team than a number two seed typically gets in the first round of the tournament. So I wanted to look at RPI and what was the RPI of the teams around Arkansas, you know, the other one seeds, two seeds, three seeds, and whatnot. And here's what I came up with. The one seeds, their opponents have RPIs of 81, 245, 263, and 309 out of 348 teams. The other two seeds have opponents with RPIs of 122, 173, and 239. Oklahoma State's RPI is 31. So when there are 32 teams that should be hosting, wouldn't you think that Oklahoma State, number one, I think both teams have to be pretty upset with this draw because, number one, I think Oklahoma State feels like they had a real complaint to be a home team in the first round. And if you're Arkansas, you're looking at, hey, we're playing the RPI number 31 when everybody else who's on the two lines playing teams 122 and above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's going to be a tough game. And, I mean, Colby Hale always is going to talk about how, you know, every team's going to have their different or have pose different threats and everything. I believe I kind of looked at it, too, and I believe Arkansas is the only 1-4 seed to have a power conference opponent in the first round,
or an opponent with an RPI of 31 or below.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a tough draw.
Because most teams with 31 and below are hosting their own regional.
Yes,
you have to get to the five. By the way, you have to get to the five line to find team seeds that are playing opponents with an RPI below Oklahoma State's 31. Michigan State's playing Western Michigan, who's got the number 20 RPI. Kentucky, another five seed hosting West Virginia, who's got the number 30 RPI.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a tough draw. And then, I mean, you get whoever wins that gets the winner of Cal versus Pepperdine, which is another very, you know, two very good teams as well. So it's a tough draw. But, I mean, I think the way you're going to look at it from, you know, probably Colby Hale's perspective or Arkansas's perspective is if you're going to make a run, you know, an Elite Eight or a College Cup or something like that, you know, you're going to have to go through, you know, a lot of good teams, and this is just kind of, you know, how the hand was dealt, and that's just kind of how you're going to have to make that run that they want to make.
You know, I think a lot of people mistake the NCAA for trying to come up with equitable matchups in the first round of different tournaments because that's what happens in basketball. You know, we're so programmed to watching March Madness, and you see that Arkansas is an 8 and Illinois is a 9, so we're going to put them together and we're going to send them up to Des Moines and play, and the winner of that's going to play top seed Kansas. You know, that happens a lot in basketball. That's one of the goals that they do by seeding teams 1-16. It does not happen in the other sports.
Yeah.
You see this in soccer. They're trying to keep teams close because the NCAA pays the travel.
Yeah.
They pay for the travel for the teams, so they're going to pay the travel for Oklahoma State to come over to Fayetteville And that cost a lot less than sending, I don't know, a team from, you know, South Dakota State to Fayetteville. Because you can put them on a bus. You don't have to put them on a plane. I think there's a, I'm not exactly sure what the radius is, but there's a radius that, you know, if you fall outside of that, you got to fly them instead of bus them. And most of these matchups in the first round are going to be bus rides. So they're looking at it more from a financial standpoint than they are from a fairness standpoint. It reminds me of a few years ago when the baseball team, Arkansas, was the number one overall seed in the tournament. And in their regional in Fayetteville in 2021 was Nebraska. And Nebraska was the Big Ten champion. And Nebraska felt like they should have been hosting a regional that weekend. So not only is Arkansas the number one overall seed, but they sent a power conference champion to Fayetteville to play them. And it was an absolute fistfight for 3 days at Baum Walker Stadium. And so there was no looking out for, hey, you've had this great season, we're going to protect you a little bit in the postseason. It was, hey, you know, and I've never quite understood what the baseball selection committee does, because sometimes you'll have teams coming in from 2,000 miles away, and sometimes everybody's within a couple hundred miles. But in that instance, it was, hey, you know, you're the number one overall seed. That's great. Here's the Big Ten champion. Have fun.
Yeah, no, that's part of the reason I was a little surprised they didn't get drawn like a Missouri State or maybe like a Southern or, you know, Stephen F. Austin or somebody like that. Just because of RPI, and obviously those schools are all within, you know, moderate driving range. Where you send Oklahoma State in that scenario, I don't know, maybe Kansas, maybe somewhere else. But I was a little surprised.
Here's an idea,
maybe
Stillwater.
That's too, yeah. Yeah, maybe Stillwater. But, yeah, no, so it is obviously a different situation with soccer or baseball or softball. I remember softball a few years ago, it was a, you know, a big deal that Wichita State was, you know, really good, but then had to go play Oklahoma in the first regional, which was, you know, kind of crazy just because of, you know, how that kind of all set up. So it is a different setup than, you know, men's and women's basketball or football and stuff like that. But yeah, just kind of I guess luck of the draw with how it's kind of played out.
I wrote something about this on our website at wholehogsports.com, and somebody who I respect quite a bit sent me an email this morning. They said, it really compromises the integrity of the tournament. The fact that they there's not really any equity in terms of those first round matchups. The seeds, it's like they're just a number, and there's no protection for the teams, and that's unfortunate. And quite frankly, that's one of the reasons the NCAA is going to go away before too long, because they can't get out of their own way when it comes to making bad decisions. Hey, I want to tell you, by the way, you can get the latest breaking news on all your Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. We think it's the most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports. Analysis, latest in recruiting, of course, the early signing period starting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. And our podcast, we're available on Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Just search Whole Hog Sports to find this podcast or any of our past podcasts. And we appreciate you listening. Hope you'll leave us a review. Good ones, preferably. When we come back, Brett Dolan's going to join us. He's going to be calling a lot of Razorback sports this week, and we'll have more with him in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
All right, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Brett Dolan is joining us now. Brett, obviously the TV voice of the Razorbacks on SEC Network Plus, and he's also going to be calling the game Saturday for Touchdown Radio which has got several affiliates. He and Gino Toretto will be on the call of Arkansas, Texas. Brett, appreciate you being here.
Hey, it's good to be with you. I know it's a crazy time of the year, but also a year that we enjoy when we get to November. We kind of get into that overlap season.
You're doing basketball tonight. You've got what, like four sports in 4 days here on campus?
Yeah, Wednesday men's basketball, Thursday women's basketball, Friday soccer NCAA tournament, Saturday football, which is actually one less game than last week. But it's it's strange, Matt, because on Wednesday I have to start working on a lot of women's basketball, even though I want to focus on the game ahead. And then Thursday I'll be focusing on soccer, and then I find time late at night to do some football. So it all works out somehow. It's just a little bit goofy.
Yeah, that's just kind of how this time of year is. Let's start with basketball tonight. What do you expect when Arkansas plays Troy?
Troy's a good team. It seems like watching one of their two games. One of their games was lost to technical difficulties on the ESPN app, but they seem to be in the right place. They defend well. They don't make a lot of mistakes. It's a team that returned 12 players from a year ago and well over 100 starts. Didn't lose a single player to the portal, so they're doing something right. And watching them, it's a pretty fundamentally sound team. I know Cal has mentioned it a couple of times this week. This is not an easy game. Just like Lipscomb, it's a veteran team that maybe doesn't have the athleticism that Arkansas does, but has been together as a unit a lot more. So I think it's going to be a fight. The question is, can Arkansas knock down a few shots? What does it look like after spending a few days kind of focusing on a zone offense? Should Troy come out and throw something at them similar to what Baylor did over the weekend? So I don't think it'll be easy. I think it's another good step for Arkansas facing a good Baylor team and a couple of really good mid-majors in Lipscomb and Troy at each end of that game.
I remember it's probably been 7 years ago. You may have been on the call of this game. Mike Anderson, one of his last teams, opened the year with Bucknell. And Bucknell is it's a really good basketball team, but they don't have the name appeal, kind of like a Lipscomb. And I feel like people early in the year, especially when football season's still going on, they can play some of these basketball teams that it's like, okay, well, that's not North Carolina, that's not, whoever. And the quality of the programs, I think, can get lost on people, similar to what you might see with the Scott Cross team. We've seen them come in here before with Texas Arlington, his teams come in and give Arkansas some real dogfights. And so don't overlook Troy, right?
No, not at all. And even going back to Lipscomb, they had three guards that were fifth-year players. So that's a tremendous amount of experience. For Troy, on the other hand, I mean, they're not afraid to schedule, Matt, because in addition to winning 20 games or more 3 straight years, they're going to play at Houston. They're going to play at Oregon in addition to this game at Arkansas. I don't think you schedule those three games unless you feel like maybe you can win one or more. And if not, you feel like it might benefit your team come postseason, whether that's the Sun Belt tournament or NCAA tournament. You do this for a reason, and you schedule games like this when you have a good team, and they very much are a pretty good team. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't win 12, 13 games, maybe more in the Sun Belt again this season.
You can figure you see some things when you're sitting courtside that it because I've done talent stats for some of the announcers that have come through on ESPN, and so you're sitting there at that table where you sit too. And when you're sitting courtside, you notice things about teams that maybe you don't notice when you're 10 rows up or 20 rows up or even watching on television. What have you noticed about this Arkansas team in the times that you've seen them on the floor?
Length acceleration. Yeah. I think that's what you get a really good perspective of down low. That pass that might work in the Sun Belt or a Sun is deflected. It's the acceleration to be able to get by somebody. And quite honestly, Cal has told a few of his players, hey, when you're playing some of these teams, you don't need the pump fake and the shoulder fake. Just go, because you're faster than some of these players trying to defend you. I think I saw that in game one. Curious what it looks like for some of these other non-conference games, Matt, because we can all see height no matter where we are in the arena. I think it's the length that's intercepting passes, deflecting passes, and then the ability to get by people to the rim. And that's how Arkansas really won that game against Lipscomb. It was fast break points. It was steals turning into offense. It wasn't standing out there and knocking down threes. That may come. Hopefully it will. But right now they're trying to use their athleticism, their speed, to create some points when maybe the offense is still waiting to kind of click.
Let's pivot to football now. Like I mentioned, you're going to be on the call Saturday when Arkansas plays Texas at 11 o'clock. In your preparation for this game, what stood out to you?
Well, having seen Texas last week in person, that's been a big help to me, because it always is beneficial just to be on site when you're not flipping around or watching a game on tape or stepping away. Texas is unique, Matt, and obviously we kind of live in SEC world, and in the last decade, the SEC has been the powerhouse in college football. We've seen a little bit of a shift in this new playoff phase where Texas is the only SEC team in the top five, and the question is, can they stay there? Are they clearly better than some of the SEC teams? I think at this point they are. Now, whether they will after they play A&M or a potential SEC championship game, we'll find out. They don't run the ball as well as some of the great SEC teams have before. Now, that comes with a caveat, Matt, because they use the screen game like a running game. Mm-hmm. Quinn Ewers has a quick release. He has really fast running backs that may not have a lot of rushing yards. They catch swing passes in stride. They make one man miss. And if you go back and watch that Florida game, the number of times they turn what could have been a five-yard pass play into 20, 30, 40. I think they had 9 plays in excess of 20 yards in the first half, and they were not looking to get the ball downfield with a big shot. They were hitting receivers, making men miss. And, Matt, I'm not a coach, but I think I enjoy the X's and O's of Sark maybe more than any coach because hopefully Arkansas fans don't see this, and hopefully they can see some defensive plays frustrated. They will hit you with that swing pass over and over and over. And by the time you start to cheat or creep as a defender, that's when they go downfield. And they will move people in a pocket and swing everybody to the right side, and the defense starts to anticipate and guess, and all of a sudden they throw back. They've got a man in space. And the X and O, as well as anybody that I've seen this year, and it comes with speed, a veteran offensive line, a quarterback who's played a lot of games. So what concerns me a little bit, if you're an Arkansas fan, Matt, is we've seen the defensive backs, and Sam mentioned this week, he opened up competition again for his corners and safeties. Against LSU, they were willing to concede the short pass. And that short pass became the running game. And it worked in the sense that the game was not out of reach late in the third quarter, and then the dam kind of broke. Against Ole Miss, without their top wide receiver, Arkansas got a little more gamey. They came up, pressed Ole Miss, and they hit him deep over and over and over. I don't know what Sam is going to try and do defensively and his staff to kind of counteract the speed and the ability of Texas, but they're going to try and get Arkansas in space, and they're going to try and make this a game similar to the last couple where they run down the field and put up a lot of 15, 20, 25-yard plays.
It's no I don't know what the word – it's no mistake – that when you listen to coaches like Saban and a lot of the current coaches, it seems like when you ask them, hey, who's the best play caller in football, they all say it's Steve Sarkisian.
I'm not even an X and O guy, and I've got a former Heisman Trophy winner with me, and I enjoy his perspective because while I'm watching the ball and what's taking place and trying to identify, he's seeing the field better than I am. That's what he did as a college player and a pro player. It feels like at times I go back and I watch the tape like I'm trying to be that former quarterback and coach because he's doing things that are completely, I don't know, unique. And if it's not unique, it's executed to that point where you're like, oh my goodness. They had a play last week, Matt, where they were on the left hash at midfield. And they pulled the left guard, and the quarterback Ewers are rolling to the strong side. So everybody's anticipating something to the wide side. They threw back to their running back, standing on the sideline, made one man miss, went 50 yards for a touchdown. And you're like, that is extremely well designed. And there were a couple of plays where, again, you're starting to anticipate the running back catching a pass, and all of a sudden they go directly down the field to the tight end or to Isaiah Bond. And that's another X factor, Matt, I don't think thrills Arkansas. Isaiah Bond, the guy who caught the 4th-and-31 ball for Alabama last year in the Iron Bowl, had not been healthy for a couple of weeks. He's their speed guy. He's back, and he made some plays. So Sark has his weapons starting to come back. It doesn't hurt. He has a backup quarterback that's probably better than anybody in the country. They still, again, do not run the ball to the level of some teams we've seen, like Michigan in recent years or Georgia or whatnot. But if they can execute the swing pass with Sark and his abilities and his play calling, they don't have to run the ball to a 150, 170-yard clip.
Seems like the knock on Quinn Ewers this year has been his down the field passing. You know, I mean, I think he's basically his numbers within 6 yards are way better than his numbers down the field. And that's not necessarily surprising, but it's a pretty stark difference between the two of them. But as I watched the Florida game last week, it seemed like he was putting really good touch on his deep balls, maybe a sign that the oblique injury is not bothering him the way that it was.
I think you're right. I think the oblique injury might be a little bit better. Having Isaiah Bond back is another key. Going into that game last week, his two top receivers were his tight end and his running back. So you think about Texas last year when they had Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. You're talking about a couple of guys with, you know, 2,000 yards of receiving between them, NFL talent in Worthy. And it maybe took a little bit to kind of put the pieces together, and then not having Bond healthy didn't help. But they still have a lot of dynamic weapons, and you're right. I think that check down Charlie nickname that he had for a couple of weeks might be changing if indeed the oblique is fine and he's got his full complement of speed receivers.
I hear something I've always wondered. It's kind of an old press box at Razorback Stadium. So I've always wondered this when crews like your own or ESPN Radio come in. Do you guys have a spot in the box, or are you sitting out somewhere else?
Yeah, we normally have a booth pretty much every place we go except Razorback Stadium. It's tight, so we are on the ledge to the right of the press box where you guys sit, and we're kind of in the corner at the end zone. So we look at the game at a different perspective, and when it goes away from us towards the north end zone, it's not easy to see. Now, if it rains, it'll be even more interesting. I think Texas has Spanish radio, which will be joining us out on the ledge. So sometimes we don't always get the premium spot national radio wise. Usually we have a booth and usually we're in the press box, but not so here. So it's different.
So you're underneath the Walmart sign by the elevator shaft, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. Hey, let's move to soccer here real quick. Just have you spent a whole lot of time looking at this Oklahoma State matchup on Friday night for the Razorbacks?
Just a little. I mean, this has been a tough week as far as all the games and all the sports. You know, it was interesting when Arkansas lost to Texas in frustrating fashion. I think Colby Hale used the word cruel because of an own goal and a goal in double overtime. They had a chance to win that, and Texas ended up winning the SEC championship in their first year, the first Longhorn SEC championship, I believe. So I think what struck me, Matt, normally – I'll call the first round soccer NCAA tournament, maybe the second or third. I won't this week because I'm on a LA to Cancun to Oregon trip. But it seems like it's kind of a mid-major team that rolls in here, and Arkansas can get well and put up a lot of goals and do a lot of damage. Obviously, facing an Oklahoma State team that's out of the Big 12 might have a little different feel to it. And then if Arkansas can keep on winning, it would set up an interesting matchup potentially with Mississippi State, who defeated them in a bizarre play earlier this year in Starkville. So it's, you know, I think the committees in every sport have a little bit of a sense of humor. And that may be when the case when Arkansas, if they would play Mississippi State in an Elite Eight match again. But I think just focusing on Friday, it's a little more difficult of an opening round matchup than they have had in a few years. Yeah. So I would imagine their attention is fully on State and what they present as challenges.
Yeah, this isn't Little Rock. This isn't Memphis. This isn't North Texas. This is a
This
is a team that feels like they could be hosting. And so it'll be interesting to see how that works out on Friday night. Should be a great atmosphere there. Always a lot of fun whenever the postseason comes into Fayetteville for these soccer games. Brett, appreciate your time. Take care of your voice this weekend, and we'll see you.
Enjoy the visit. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you, Brett Dolan. When we come back, Ethan Westerman will join me in the studio. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
All right, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They have been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan Westerman here with me. Ethan, back from Little Rock a couple of nights ago for that big comeback win by the Razorback women over Arkansas Little Rock. Thoughts on the game?
Yeah, didn't see it coming, to be honest. I just with the nature of our job, you're usually, you know, working in the middle of a game on kind of two different scenarios.
You don't see the last 10 minutes of a game, typically.
Yeah, you're just working on two different scenarios of stories, one for if they win, one for if they lose. A lot of the times by the, you know, in non-conference play, especially by the third quarter, you can really tell what direction it's going, and you start putting your eggs in one of those baskets, which mm-hmm. is exactly what I did, because Little Rock was controlling the game. They shot like over 50% in the third quarter, and it just looked like it was headed to maybe even a 20-point loss for the Arkansas women. And then, as humor would have it, with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, everything changed. And then I had the backspace button was my best friend.
You know, I've always felt like Nabors teams, say what you want to about them, but they've always been really good, or typically they've been really good at extending games in the fourth quarter. And part of it's, you know, they shoot so many threes, and so if they're falling, that can help. But they seem like they are as good as you know, maybe not as good as anybody, but they are really good at extending games, and certainly that was part of what they did down there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they can shoot themselves in or out of a game. And the case the other night wasn't necessarily as much them with the three-point ball getting them back in the game. They did make a few threes in the fourth quarter. It was really they just started driving and getting to the free throw line, and they started defending. And it was really a war of attrition, I felt like. Like, Little Rock was just tired by the fourth quarter, and Arkansas seemed way more fresh. So it was just a matter of, yeah, they found a way to keep it close enough that they could make a comeback in the fourth quarter. You know, say what you want. A lot of people expected them to just win that game comfortably, but the fact that they had to come back is kind of – it's concerning, but the fact that they did it showed me something, because I kind of had written them off by the end of the third quarter. It just a for sure loss.
They're gonna play tight games, and they're going to lose some games in the non-conference. They've got UT Arlington coming in tomorrow night.
Yep.
Thoughts on that game?
They should. It's a good opportunity. UT Arlington's only played two Division I teams, and they've lost both of them to Arizona by about 20, and they also lost to Louisiana Tech by 11. So I think it could be a little bit closer than maybe people expect, but it's a game that Arkansas really should win. There's not really a good reason why they shouldn't. But what's really interesting to me is just kind of the way it falls on their schedule, that they played a close game Monday night in Little Rock, were off yesterday, and then they're going to play this game tomorrow against UT Arlington, and then have UCLA on Sunday in Los Angeles. It just mm-hmm. kind of is, it fits in a sneaky little spot where UT Arlington is probably pretty ready for this game, and Arkansas, it's kind of hidden in the middle of a busy stretch.
Who do they play after UCLA?
I would have to look. So I think that, Oral Roberts.
That would be the game, like when you come back from a long trip like that, that would be the one where I would feel like that could sneak up on you.
Yeah, they play that Thursday against
Oral
Roberts.
Okay, well, they'd have some time to get ready for that then. It's like if you come back from the West Coast and say you got like 2 days to get ready, those are the type of games that I think could get you.
And they're playing a national championship contender.
Yeah, UCLA's very
good.
They're
very, very good, and they have a post player who can just take over a game. And that's a huge test for them on Sunday.
Let's transition to football. Texas coming in here this weekend. What are your thoughts on this game?
I'm not expecting much from the Razorbacks in it, to be honest, because it's less me just trying to be – I'm not trying to just be negative about Arkansas. I look at how good I think Texas is. And
they're very good.
They're just so talented. Good. I think I wrote somewhere this week. We write so much, I forget where it was. But just it's hard to find holes in any of the three phases of the game with Texas. It's hard to. And I think with Arkansas right now, you're seeing the bucket get some leaks in it all over the place. So it's just the way that things are trending. I'm not expecting Arkansas to even really have have it close, but because I just think Texas is that good. But then again, who knows? It's college football. If there's anything we've learned this season, it's whenever you least expect things to happen that sometimes they do.
It's almost like with Arkansas this year, and especially at home, when you expect a close game, you don't get a close game. And when you expect a game maybe to be a little bit more, you know, not so close, that's when, you know, so it's like Tennessee. When Tennessee came in here, you got to remember they were the highest scoring team in the country. I think they had the the largest point differential. And I said at that time, I thought that was going to be the toughest game for them to win at home this year. And lo and behold, they win that game. Well, we thought LSU would be close. That was not a close game. We thought Ole Miss might be close. That was not a close game. And so now you go into Texas, and I think I'm in this mind frame of, and maybe I'm, I definitely am influenced, number one, by what I saw Arkansas do against Ole Miss 2 weeks ago. I'm also influenced by what I saw from Texas against Florida last week, where they looked really good. I'm not expecting this to be much of a game, so, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe it comes down to the last possession.
Yeah, no, we really do this thing where if we expect one thing, it the opposite happens. So, who knows? It's an 11 a.m. game, but last time Arkansas had an 11 a.m. game, we saw how they came out of the gates and started. Got to have a better start.
Was that Ole Miss?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm about to say the game was over by noon, but we really got to – I think we got to go into this game for us just kind of expecting it could be lopsided. It's just where things are trending. But then again, the Razorbacks, you know, the game is played on turf, not on, well, on grass.
And
it's not on the paper. And that's exactly what happened against Tennessee, where we thought that that could get ugly, and Arkansas held firm.
Well, you just took away my thunder a little bit. It's not played on the paper. I was going to tell you about the paper. Texas, in my offensive efficiency ratings, they're number three in the SEC behind Alabama and Ole Miss. Defensive efficiency, number three behind Tennessee and Ole Miss. And in team efficiency, they are number two behind Ole Miss. So basically, you know, what this says is that Texas would be favored to beat every team in the SEC right now except for Ole Miss. And I know they lost to Georgia. I'm just saying, if you put those teams on a neutral field and you looked at what they've done, you know, based on scoring, based on stopping teams, that Texas would be favored to, and I honestly, they may be favored to beat Georgia right now with the way that Georgia's offense is so up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a team in Texas that, if I'm one of the 12 teams that make the college football playoff, there's a small handful of teams right now that I'm like, I would want zero part of. And they're definitely in that category. I think Ole Miss is in that category too, though.
For sure.
Anybody who draws,
I think Alabama's in that category.
Yeah, I still am waiting to see a little bit more from Alabama, but
see what Alabama's done. They've found a defense that complements the offense. They figured out against LSU, and I'm going to be interested to see if they keep doing this. Who was it? Chris Doering said this on our podcast last week. He said the way that you use Jalen Milroe is not to drop him back and throw him 40 or 50 times a game. The way you use that guy is to use his strengths, and his strengths are his legs. And they did that against LSU. And so I'm interested to see if Alabama sticks with that approach as the season goes along, because the offense was really good with what they were doing. It just wasn't clicking at maybe the highest level. I mean, it clicked at the highest level against LSU the other night, but then defensively the last few games, they've really found something, beginning with that shutout against Missouri. They played really well against LSU the other night. They're starting to become a more complete-looking team mm-hmm. than they were 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And this is the time of year where I think we start talking about eye test more than ever, where you see the teams that you with your eyes tell you don't want to have any part of them right now. And I think Alabama does fit into that. Tennessee, on the other hand, is a team that I think if I'm a college football playoff team matched up against them, I kind of feel good about my chances there.
Well, I'm not sure Tennessee's going to get into the playoff. If they can't beat, you know, and have we got the playoff bracket sitting? I think we can pull this up. But if you look at the playoff bracket right now that was released last night, of course, this is in some ways the fact that we're even talking about a playoff bracket with 4 or 5 weeks left in the season is pretty goofy. But that's, yes, you know, that's the world we live in right now. This is the playoff bracket right now, and you'll notice Georgia is not there. Georgia would be the first team left out right now. But if Tennessee were to go to Athens and Georgia were to have a good performance this weekend and beat Tennessee, then I think maybe those two teams flip, depending on what else happens with these teams around them.
Yeah, and it's, like you said, so much season left to where it's like right now there's some teams that are in this, I think the outsider perspective and just looking at what's ahead, people can deem things as like a do-or-die game for their playoff odds. It's just we've seen before college football chaos happens, and I think that a two-loss Tennessee still could find its way in. It's just going to take some chaos.
Let's talk about this bracket for a second, Sydney, if you'll pull that back up when you get a chance. So Oregon would be the number one seed right now. And remember that seeds are not rankings. And that confuses people. And honestly, it confused me as I was watching the show last night, even going into it, understanding what they were going to do. It was still kind of jarring as they're saying, okay, we've got number five, Indiana, and then you see there Indiana's the number seven seed. But the seeds right now would be Oregon, Texas, BYU, and Miami, top four. In that order, the teams would get bye games. They would not get to play on-campus playoff games, though, if they finish in those top four seeds. A couple of things here to think about. Number one, none of these teams are assured to win their conference. Oregon potentially could have to play Ohio State again in the Big Ten championship game. That was a tough game. We don't know if Texas will even make it to Atlanta. We think they have got a good chance to. But when they get to Atlanta, I mean, they're going to have to play a pretty good team when they get there. BYU, even though they're winning the Big 12, you know who's got the road right now in the Big 12? Colorado. Nobody's talking about Colorado. Colorado could sneak in there and be one of these top four seeds. And then Miami and the ACC, I think Clemson's still a factor. Obviously, SMU's a factor. Top four seeds, that's what they look like right now, but it could certainly look very different in 3 or 4 weeks.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just crazy how you said that. Can't look at the bracket and the rankings, and they don't just line up perfectly. But it is funny seeing, like, how favorable with the format that they have this is for some teams. Like, for instance, talk about teams that don't pass the eye test right now. To me, Miami doesn't at all. To me, number one, I just don't think the ACC is all that great, and they've had so many close calls in the ACC.
But they got to have somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and they'll get a top four seed if they win that conference. And
maybe.
More than likely.
Yeah.
More than likely they will. And it's a team that if I'm Ohio State, I'm like, absolutely, this is can't ask for anything better right here. I just think that it's going to be interesting to see these quote-unquote upsets based on seed that, you know, Vegas has a different opinion.
I just think there's a very good chance that these top four seeds that we see in this bracket right now, none of them end up as top four. I think there's a very good chance of that because you got to be a conference champion. And I think there's a chance all four of these teams could lose in their conference championship game.
Yeah. More than anything, I think this time of November, it's looking at this just to kind of give people an idea. Like, I mean, it's given me a better idea seeing the rankings come out of just kind of understanding the format and how it works and getting to see how it would be if it ended right now.
I would love to know what the feeling is in Georgia this morning because, you know, I mean, they feel like it's their birthright to be, you know, in this field. Obviously, they didn't play well against Ole Miss last week, but they went from being, what were they, the number three overall to being the first team out. I mean, that's a huge drop for losing to a team that now is in the playoff bracket.
Yeah. I was talking to you about this the other day. It's funny listening to the Paul Feinbaum show Monday after the weekend. It was Georgia fans were absolutely having a meltdown on the show when I was listening Monday, as were LSU fans. I don't know which felt more miserable on Monday, but it is hard for Georgia because I think that that's a team that they're just not used to this in recent years of just not seeing their name in any sort of, like, I mean, in a four-team playoff, it was weird to not see Georgia.
And they're not used to being so wildly inconsistent from week to week. I mean, they looked, you know, we saw what they looked like against Alabama back in September. They looked great against Texas. And then, you know, against Ole Miss, against Florida, they're kind of flatlining. And then against Ole Miss, they just tank.
Yep. It's...
And now they play Tennessee, and it wouldn't surprise me to beat Tennessee by three touchdowns.
Who knows? We've talked about this before with other sports. It tells me more about it. Like, inconsistent teams, it just tells me a lot about them. Those are the teams that I just don't trust at all. And, like, right now, I think that the teams that are consistently getting better are the ones I think are scary in the playoff. Like, Ole Miss, very scary. They're consistently getting better.
About that, Ole Miss maybe going up to the Big Ten country in December, playing in some nasty, nasty weather, whether it be at State College, could be at Columbus, you know, could be at Indiana for all we know, depending on how Indiana's season plays out. But the rest of the first round matchups, if the season ended today, you'd have Boise State at Ohio State in the 5-12 game, Notre Dame at Tennessee in the 8-9 game, Ole Miss at Penn State in the 6-11 game, and Alabama at Indiana in the 7-10 game. I want to see Alabama at Indiana materialize. I don't care how they get there. That just would be a lot of fun
to
watch.
You know how last year they showed the reaction of the playoff, like teams when they found out who their draw was in Michigan? I think it was Michigan-Alabama paired up, right?
Yeah.
And you could see just the sinking whenever they saw that they were paired up against Alabama.
Like, all I remember from that show was Mike Norvell just kind of like sinking down into his chair when he realized that they weren't going to get to the playoff. And it's like he's never stopped sinking. I mean, he's like down underneath the chair, like melting into the floor at this point with the way that Florida State's playing.
For sure. Well, Michigan had their own meltdown when they found out that they were playing Alabama, because that was a team at the moment you're like, oh, you don't want to play them right now. And I think watching the Indiana reaction, if they learned that Alabama is their first-round opponent, would be pretty funny. But then again, who on this list would
be kind of like that Larry David meme from Curb Your Enthusiasm? You're like, maybe.
What team on this list, though, would Indiana just be thrilled about, though? You know,
Boise State. Well, Army. If Army gets in. If Indiana could host Army, they would be thrilled with that, I think.
Yeah. How are we talking about Indiana in a college football playoff right now? What a weird year we're living in.
Well, I talked about this yesterday. I love it, the fact that we've got teams that – two things. One thing I mentioned yesterday, we've got teams that you typically don't talk about in November. Okay? I mean, when else would we be talking about Indiana and Boise State and BYU in the playoff picture in the past? So that's what the 12-team playoff has done. But number two – Indiana fired their coach last year because they were so bad. Boise State fired their coach last year because they were so bad. You know, some of these other teams, Miami, I think they were talking about maybe firing Cristobal when the season started because he hadn't produced at Miami quite the way they thought that he should. These teams, this era of the expanded playoff and of the transfer portal and of NIL, I mean, there's no more of this. You got to build for 2 or 3, 4 years to get your team. You can have a big-time turnaround in one offseason.
Yeah, and it completely changes your perception of programs, I think, the fact that they're in a playoff field. Like, I was thinking about it the other day. What if we still had the 4-team playoff right now and we saw these rankings come out? Ole Miss, we would still have them counted. They'd be right where they've been the past few years in all of our minds, I think, where it's like, oh, they had a good team, but they couldn't quite get to that elite level to make the playoff because they had two losses, and you'd be saying this is another New Year's Six type Ole Miss team. But now you're looking at them because we have this expanded playoff, and you're saying, oh, that's a national championship contender.
If you had a 4-team playoff right now, here's what it would look like. You'd have Oregon number one, you'd have Ohio State number two, Texas number three, Penn State number four, and you'd have an undefeated Indiana team that was on the outside looking in right now, kind of like what happened to Florida State last year.
Yeah, and it's just crazy how it changes the scenario of who even has a shot now. Because,
and if you'll notice, that's only two conferences.
And more than ever, now I'm paying attention to who's playing well in November, because you can have already done – you can have a resume that would have obliterated your playoff chances in the past whenever it was four teams, but now you have one that'll make it, and you're playing well in November, and nobody wants any part of you. I think we're going to see now with this playoff for sure. Like, you never saw a two-loss national champion – did you in the 4-team playoff? I can't think of one.
Not in the 4-team playoff, no.
Yeah, I think
in the BCS, LSU won the championship in 2007 with two losses, but that was it.
That was a bizarre year.
I was there.
Yeah. Well,
not at the championship. I was there when it looked like their championship aspirations had died.
Yeah, but I think with this new playoff format, you're going to see a two-loss team win a national championship pretty – they won't take too long.
You know, LSU with three losses still is not out of the equation, because they've only got two conference losses. And if enough things happen and the breaks go their way, they're in Atlanta. And if they win in Atlanta, they're a top four seed with three losses. Now, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, I love seeing fan bases. Like, what this does now with 12
teams.
I'm not
sure they'd be a top four seed, but continue.
I love seeing the hope that fan bases still are, like, lingering on to with the six-man playoff. Like, I'm seeing South Carolina and Missouri fans go through theoreticals of how they'll make this playoff that I'm like, come on, guys. Like, I get it. You can do enough chaos that you're like, maybe, but come on now. It's not very likely.
Drinkwitz thinks he's a playoff team. He said that in his postgame the other day. He thinks Missouri is a playoff team. He said a lot in his postgame, but he also took a shot at Bob Stoops, of all people, after his game the other day. It's wild sometimes listening to what he does. All right, we appreciate you being with us. We'll have much more on our podcast tomorrow, looking back at Arkansas-Troy, some more looking ahead at the Texas game this weekend. Until then, we hope we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everyone.